But we're going to spend the majority of our time in Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 1 is where we're going to start. And as I said, Acts chapter 13 is where we're going to put most of our focus on. So this morning's message, the Sunday before missions conference, it's an important message. I know I get the opportunity, I don't always get the opportunity to preach in the Sunday morning message of missions conference. It always depends on the keynote speaker, if they're able to stay all the way through on Sunday or if they leave. But I enjoy preaching this message here to try to get our hearts and minds ready, because when I look across the room, thankful to know there was people that was not here last missions conference. What a blessing it is to have that. But also as a reminder, this year is the 49th year of Faith Baptist Church. Excuse me. And there's a few people that have been here all 49 years, and we're very thankful for them. Thankful for everyone who is their first year or their 49th year. But one of the things I enjoy about our church and our church family is that it's always been a missions-minded church. I know Mr. Barry, I heard him introducing himself to someone today, and they said, he says, we've been here been a missionary for over 40 years, and this church has supported him for those years. And as you look across the room, you see all the different flags, and it's just a scratch of the surface when you consider the billions and billions of people that are in the world today. Almost 8 billion people, they say they're up to. I don't know how they really know those exact numbers, but almost 8 billion people. And you look at the different pictures that are underneath the flags, those are different ministries and missionaries that we support here at Faith Baptist Church, and probably up to about 50 different missionaries and missionary type projects. And I think about the need that's around the world, and the question is, what can I do, or what should I do, what part should I have in this? Because we've been obviously given a commission by the Lord, by Jesus Christ, to go into all the world. It's given to the church. It's given to the individuals. And it says in Acts chapter 1, look what it says in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is referring to their local area, and unto Judea, talking about the outlying areas, and in Samaria, talking about probably areas that we would not be comfortable with going to, and unto the othermost part of the earth. We call this a portion of the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been given a command to go into all the world. And the question is, how in the world is that capable? How in the world can I do that? How is that supposed to happen? I think about different unreached people groups in the world. And I was reading and I came across some different statistics that was written back in 2012. I know they're not one preacher put it. And he says that the northern part of Yemen, which has about 8 million people, that's twice the population of the entire state of Kentucky. This would be considered a unreached people group. Known believers in those, once again, it's 2012, would probably have been about 20 or 30 people that would be known believers. Well, we'll say even if it was 100 people that lived in that area who knew Christ. You think about, there's more people here today than there would be Christians in a part of the world where there is over 8 million people. And then we consider that over 2 billion of the people are classified as unreached. Not talking about unsaved. We're talking about people who do not have an accessible to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there is billions of people who do not know the name of Christ. And that's humbling. And you're like, okay, you're right. I know there's a problem. So what am I supposed to do? And that's why we're glad you asked. Is because today the message is intended to help us understand how the church furthers the gospel. Now, the church furthers the gospel. This year's theme is for the furtherance of the gospel. And, you know, there was one prayer request, or one thing that Christ specifically said we should pray for. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so I come to this spot and I come to this great commission. I come to the overwhelming fact that there's billions of people. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? And the question is, or the answer is, we should do what the Lord wants us to do personally. We can write it off, as many people do, and say, there's just no way I can reach everybody, so I'm not going to reach anyone. There's no way I can make a difference in those billions of people's lives, so because of that, I'm going to choose not to do anything. Even though the Bible gives us a clear directive to spread the gospel, to be witnesses of what God's done in our hearts and what God's done in our lives. Acts chapter number 13, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 13. We see how God uses a local church and sending out some laborers to do the work that God's called us to do, how they help further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that we understand that laborers are needed. This is the one thing that Jesus Christ said that we should be praying for. It's laborers. You say, why in the world would he tell us to pray for that? And the Lord, I think, understood this. Obviously, he's God. He knows all things. He knows there is a great lack of laborers. Now, there's not a lack of work that needs to be done, but there's a lack of laborers. I don't think there's even a great lack of financial resources, because God can provide those things. We need laborers. I don't think there's a great lack for programs or ideas on how to get the work done. There's lots of people that have ideas and programs, but there's lack of laborers. There's definitely not a lack of souls that need to be won to Christ. We cannot use that as an excuse. I don't know of anybody who needs Christ. There's unreached people groups that amass to be over 2 billion people. There's a need there, but the lack is for laborers. There's always been a great lack for laborers, but where are we supposed to get these laborers from? We do, what we need right now is a group of laborers. You say, well, Pastor, I can't go over to Yemen. I can't go over to, all I'm asking and praying from the message today is that God would burden our hearts to do what he has called us to do personally in helping reach people for Jesus Christ. I tell you, even inside our local church, what is there? There's a need for laborers. There's always a need for workers. Not only should it be local workers and laborers, but a church should be training up people to send out to reach people. Each of these individuals that are represented underneath these flags, they've been sent out of a church. God's spoken to their heart. God's worked in their lives, and God has called them. The church has recognized their call, and they have sent them out. Think about it. If we truly are on the cusp of eternity, what do you mean the cusp of eternity? If we truly believe that Christ could come back at any time, near the end of the age, the verge of the second coming of Christ, do we really think that God is calling less people, or do we think he would be calling more people? Do we really feel like God is not interested in lost souls that he's been interested in for thousands of years, that even sent his son down to the cross to die for us? Do we really truly believe that he does not care about them more now than he would have before? If Christ could return at any moment in time, do we truly believe that God's calling fewer people or giving his church the responsibility? I guess go ahead and check out because of the fact that I'm going to come back and I'm going to fix it anyway. Don't worry about the people that are dying and going to hell today. No. If anything, he would be calling more. If anything, he would be calling, encouraging us in a greater way. As we heard in Sunday school class, I appreciate Brother Potter preaching, talking about perilous times and the last days and what the church is going to look like and the dangers of the church and what the church needs to look like. It's not that he's calling less people today. I believe there's less people that are listening. I believe God is still calling for people. He's still giving burdens to people, but I believe there's people that are less and less that are listening to the call of Christ or seeing their need for the calls of Christ. And here in Acts chapter 13, you see a paramount passage of scripture. You see how that this first group was sent out of this church. And I love this story. And I love the story of Saul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul being sent out of this church. Let's go ahead and read here in Acts chapter 13. Look what it says in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets. Now, it's not the Church of Jerusalem. The Church of Jerusalem is where that first place, and you see the Pentecost, you see the growing of it, but we don't see them sending out the first missionaries. We see that this is the Church of Antioch. Remember, they were known, they were called Christians first in Antioch. They were Christ-like, and they had a burden, and their burden was for who? It was to reach the lost. Now, I think it's interesting, and we're not going to take time to look at all these things, but if you read these different names, he says prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. If you looked at all these different individuals' names, you looked at their backgrounds, you would see a wide variety of backgrounds, a wide variety of cultures, language backgrounds, experience backgrounds. It's fascinating how God has brought this group together in this one church, and they're serving the Lord. They're ministering to the Lord. And that's the beauty of the local church, is God brings people together from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different languages, different experiences. And that's what the church is all about. The Lord is called, and the Lord is there, and he brings them all together to be worshipers together. They all have different perspectives. They all have different ways of looking at things, but they have one thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is the great need of the world today, is Jesus Christ. Now, they might say there's a financial need, and I'm sure there is, but the greatest need is Jesus Christ. And I think it's wonderful how it's kind of the mystery of the church. It's the miracle of the church that God can bring people down from all different facets of life and all different types of people, and they have one common interest, which is Jesus Christ, and one common goal, which is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that. I mean, I see different people, and I know some people from up north and some people from down south, and I'd love to see even more people from different countries. We have a few that were born in different countries, and I think it'd be great if we would have a great understanding is that God's called all of us to reach into all types of people group, and I think it's wonderful when people look different than us and when people actually sound different than us and people come from different spots and different areas. I think it's great that we look across the room and we see that there's probably 15% of the people here today weren't here last March. I think that's wonderful. I think that's awesome. I think we should encourage that. We should want that. It's not that we're trying to run other people off, but we want to add people to our church so that way they can help us further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's amazing. So here's a couple of things I want you to see in this passage of scripture that I think in the helping of the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we further. First thing I want you to see here, and let's go ahead and read verses 1-5 very quickly. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It says in verse number 2, and it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word, as we consider all these wonderful truths, help us to understand our part in the Great Commission. Yes, we see how the church here helps further the gospel, but we see how individuals help the church. And Lord, that you would speak to every single person today about their part and how to further the gospel. Lord, it begins at salvation. It begins understanding their need. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's never believed and that's never accepted, that's never repented, who's never put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray they understand that today and that they're convicted of their sins and that they are drawn to you. And Lord, that they would trust in you. And Lord, for every person here that has blood bought, that is on their way to heaven, Lord, that you would burden our hearts, that you would speak to us individually about our part, our need, what we should do in this great commission. Lord, help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see, and first thing I want you to understand, is the work whereunto I've called. Look at the end of verse number 2. It says, for the work whereunto I've called them. There's a group of men here that are ministering unto the word of God. Ministering unto the Lord. It says, and as they minister in verse number 2 to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. What has God called us to do when it comes to world evangelism? We sit here and we have a missions conference, and this starts on Wednesday night. What we do, we have people come and preach specifically about our part of the Great Commission and what's the interest, what is my desire as a pastor, what should be our church's desire together as a group of people. It is that we would hear from God about what we should do when it comes to world evangelism. That's the reason why we bring in families from across the world. And yes, I know, I understand we support them or they're interested in support, but we bring in families across the world. We bring them here. And even though we might have a small group of people that's going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, why would you bring in three families? Why would you bring in a keynote speaker? And the whole purpose is we're interested in hearing from God. We hear from testimonies. We see presentations of works. We put up flags. And all the reason why we do this is to hear from God. I am not trying to manipulate. I am not trying to personally motivate. I am trying to make it a spot to where we can hear from the Lord what God would have us to do as a church, as a unit, but more importantly, as individuals, what God would say, this is what I want you to do when it comes to world evangelists and world evangelism. I believe God has an interest for each of us to have our own part when it comes to world evangelism. Obviously, if you're not a believer, if you're not saved, you cannot have a part in helping spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God uses his believers, his children, to do that. We come with this theme. We talked about it for weeks for the furtherance of the gospel. What did you do last week to help further the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is it that we've done? And that's the question we want to ask most weeks for the furtherance of the gospel. What did I do last week to help further the gospel of Jesus Christ? We had a small group that was here yesterday that went out and tried to help our children's ministry, early morning children's ministry, by putting out pamphlets on doors, talking to people in areas that were probably low income type areas, to try to reach out to get young people to ride vans and buses that wouldn't have any other opportunity to be able to come to church and give them some information. And I was talking to Brother Christian. He said, hey, did we get any calls and response? And I said, no. And we said, you know, it doesn't happen that way where you just do one time and then people call. And he agreed. He says, you know what? It was a low effort. It was some effort, but there wasn't a lot of work that was put into it. And it's because of the fact that there wasn't a lot put into that at least that day's activities. Thankful for who came and what did it. But at the same time, what is our part? What am I supposed to do individually? What did I do last week? Did I pass out a tract? Did I have a conversation with someone? Is there something I did this past week to help further the gospel? Did I pray for a nation? Did I pray for our lost people group? Did I pray for any of these missionaries? What did I do last week to help further the gospel? And here's the thing is, not what you can come up with, not what you can reason in your own mind, because what did we learn about last week? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. My interest is, and my desire is, that each of us would hear, God, what is it you want me to do when it comes to world evangelism? Not what makes sense to me, but instead, Lord, what is it you want me to do? You look at this group of people, you see that last name at the end of verse number 1. Saul. And many people's mind, it would be, okay, it's Saul, the great, great apostle. Yes, he is at this point in time learning. He's the last guy on the list here. He's not the headliner. Even as he goes out on the missionary journey, it's Barnabas and Saul. And Barnabas and Saul, it quickly changed, becomes Paul and Barnabas. I understand that. But it's not about the individual. You would think these are probably two of the most prominent, probably two of the best members of this church, two of the best teachers in this church, two of the best prophets, you know, all those different things, that they are the high-ranking officials probably in this church. But God says, hey, I want you to take these two, cream of the crop, and I want you to send them somewhere else. That's not our own understanding. If anything, we'd be saying, hey, there's someone who's great. There's someone who's helping. They need to stay right here. That's not what God says. So here's my desire is that we would be listening to the call that God has on our life. We need more people. We need more workers. We need men who are willing to preach the gospel. We need godly ladies who will engage in the work of the Lord. We need more families that are concerned with the call of Christ that would say, I'm going to take my energy. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take my resources, not just to do some type of hobby, but instead to help evangelize the world. I'm not opposed to hobbies. I'm not opposed to things that are interesting. I'm not opposed to things that we enjoy, but we need some people to say, I'm going to take my time and my resources to help reach more and help further the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have that. Why is that? Because we don't listen for the voice of God when it comes to this. Because if we open up our hearts and we open up our Bibles and we open up our walk with the Lord, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, well, you should be involved with this. This is something that God loves and what God's called us to do. This is something that I'm interested in. These are things that I want to see done. God calls people into the work of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about just full-time ministry. Yes, God called me to be a pastor. I'm talking about how God gives us a heart to do the things that he cares about. We need laborers. We need the Lord to direct our paths. This is too overwhelming to think that we can reach 8 billion people. There's probably this morning a little bit over 100 people that's inside this church building. And he's like, how can I reach the billions of people? God's not asking you to reach the billions of people. God's asking you to listen to his voice about what he would have you to do to reach one or to reach a few or to give to be able to help reach many. What is it that God's calling you to do? And I love it. It says in the end of verse number two, he says at the end of verse two, whereunto I have called them. He says, there's two men that I have called. And he says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted the Holy Ghost, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. These are two people I want you to take and I want you to leave and I want you to send them out to the work that I have called them to do. This is not something that your dad calls you to do, your mom calls you to do, your grandparents called you to do. You're not pastor sent. It's something that the Holy Spirit calls us to do. The first thing I want you to think about is the work whereunto I've called them to do. It's something that we must listen to God speak to our hearts. But also, notice how it started. You say, okay, Pastor, I'm good. I want to hear from God. I think that would be really cool to hear from God. He's not talking in some big, booming, audible voice. This is the Holy Ghost is actually speaking here. It's that small, that voice that speaks to our hearts. But how do you start? How do you know, Pastor? What am I supposed to know? You're saying, listen to God for how I'm supposed to know what I'm supposed to do, world evangelism. Well, look what it says in verse number two again. Look at the beginning, though. It says, as a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. This is how they took some time and they ministered to the Lord. It's kind of interesting. I'm not saying that they're ministering to others. They took the time to minister to the Lord. And how does it say they ministered to the Lord? That they fasted, they prayed, they did these things to get close to God. I truly believe it begins when we learn to minister to the Lord. It begins when we, with our prayer time. It begins when we fast. It begins when we become serious with the Lord. It begins when we say he's number one. He's the most important thing. I'm going to set time aside. No. And I'm not just going to set time aside. I'm going to put my life and say, God, what is it you want me to do when it comes to world evangelism? I'm going to begin praying and I'm going to begin fasting and begin seeking the Lord. I truly believe if we had more people seeking God, we would have more people seeking the lost. If we had more people praying to God, we would have more people praying for the lost. The reason why we don't have people seeking the lost is because many times we're not seeking the Lord as we should. This is where it started at, is they got to a spot that God became significant in their life. And they said, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to get close to God. I think God calls those that are close to him. God calls those who are walking with him. God calls those who are ministering unto him. And you say, what am I supposed to do when it comes to world evangelism? We must get close to the Lord so we can hear their voice. Yesterday, we were in the van and we were driving to do a little bit of outreach, and Brother Jim and Brother Potter were there and they were having a conversation. And I was trying to have a conversation with Brother Christian, who was a few rows back, and we were talking back and forth, and we were all talking, and we were all legitimate conversations. Brother Jim and Brother Potter are discussing the deep things of the Bible. I'm glad I wasn't in that conversation. They're smarter than I am. I'm trying to talk to Brother Christian about where we're going in different areas and the benefits and things like that. And we were being kind to one another conversations, but it wasn't easy to hear one another because there was people talking. We must learn to silence the voices of this world and say, well, this is what I think you should do when it comes to rural evangelism. This is what I think you should do, and get alone with the Lord. See the commission he's given us. See what he's told us to do. Understand the need that's there. See the prayer request. Fast and become serious and say, God, what is it you want me to do when it comes to rural evangelism? We must see where it started. We must get engaged in ministering to him. God will make you a minister to other people when we begin to minister to him. Look at a couple of things here. Look what the Holy Ghost said. God speaks to the people. God calls people to certain things. Once again, it was not called of the pastor. It wasn't even this guy Barnabas making the choices. It wasn't even Simeon. It wasn't Lucius. It wasn't even Manaen. It wasn't even Saul. It was the Holy Spirit that did the calling. It's the Holy Spirit to do the working. What is it that God has been asking you to do in your life? What is it that he says when you see the need and you take time? Okay, there's 8 billion people. There's billions of people that are an unreached people group. God's called me. What is it that you have taken time to consider alone and say, God, what is it you want me to do now? I mean, we become this modern day American Christianity. We struggle with just reading our Bible. We struggle with just praying. And we miss the heart of God because of the fact that God doesn't have our hearts. We miss the heart of God because God doesn't have our hearts. And because of that, we're okay with the billions of people that are over there, and okay because I can't do anything to make a difference, but we can do something to make a difference. If we allow God to call us. You think about Barnabas and Saul, the changes that God used them in this first missionary journey, and then Paul in the second missionary journey, and all the other works that are there. What is God calling us? What is God saying to us about world evangelism? Not only do we see what the Holy Spirit says about the calling, but think about what he says about the separating. Look what it says in verse number 2. And he ministered to the Lord, and he fasted the Holy Ghost and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. So it wasn't just them giving him a job. He says, I want you to separate them. Now, this is a scary word to some. They think about separate, and they think, well, that means I need to separate from this and separate from that and separate from the ungodly and separate from. And I understand all that. But before we can separate from that, there's something that we separate to. We separate to God. We say, God, you're the most important. This morning, we were talking about Mount Sinai in the children's church and talking about, should I have no other God before me, which means, well, I should love the Lord with all my heart. I'm separating to God. And as I separate to God, you know what that means? There's certain other things I'm going to have to separate from. Because if I'm separating unto God, and if I wanted to serve him, and I want to love him, I want to do all those things, I'm separating unto God, that means there's certain things that I'm going to be separating from. But I think it's more important to understand that we separate and we love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Then we're going to understand those things that we need to separate from. But the problem is, many times we have not separated unto the Lord first. The Holy Spirit calls them into a work, but he says, look, in order to do the work, there are certain things you're going to have to separate them from. Then the church separates, separate them from. The Holy Spirit reveals the work of the Lord as we separate to God. He'll begin to show you things. There are things I don't do anymore that I used to do. Why is that? Because the Lord showed me. He spoke to my heart. Hey, I don't want you to do that anymore. And he showed me those things. And sometimes people are more spiritual. Sometimes people are more self-righteous. Oh, I don't do this anymore. Well, if God hasn't showed you that, if it's not clearly written in the Word of God, don't be judging somebody else for what they may or may not do. Instead, pray for them that God will help give them the same direction they gave you. But what happens here is God separates certain people out, then the church separates as certain people for the work of the Lord. The church separates people for the work of the ministry. They separate them for the work that God's called them to do. And I believe when God calls people in his work, there's going to be evidence that they're spiritual people. God has his heart, and he says, hey, look, he put somebody in somebody's mind and heart. I'm calling that person to do something. The church recognizes that, and the church separates them, and the church sends them out. But they need to show proof of that. They need to show that they're spiritual people. God's not going to be calling fleshly people to do his work, and other people will see that in them. And that's when the church sets a certain person apart, and that's what they're talking about, separating Barnabas and Saul. Not only is it what he said in the separation, but they're sent forth. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they fasted and prayed, they sent them away. Who sent them? It says that they sent them away in verse number 3, talking about the church. In verse number 4, it says, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So which one of them sent them? It's both. The church was doing what the Lord wanted them to do. The Lord sends them forth as laborers, and we don't call the workers in the ministry. The Lord does that. The Lord calls someone. Then the church, which has been given authority by the church, by God, identifies the call of God on a person's life. He cooperates with the Holy Spirit, and they sends them forth for the work. Truth is, we need laborers. We need workers. We need people who are going to go out and reach people for Jesus Christ. We need people who are willing to put their lives on the line and separate it for the work of the Lord. People who are willing to be sent. But you first must listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Then you must learn to separate. And then you must be willing to go and do whatever he's called you to do. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to Cambodia. I'm not going to Thailand. Fine. But first, listen to what God wants from you. Separate into him and let him show you and lead and direct how it's going to happen, and to be willing and open to whatever he may be. You might think it's not Cambodia or Thailand, but it may be. You're never going to know until you're willing to listen. You're never going to know until you're willing to separate. You're never going to know until you're willing to do what he's called you to do. It's important to understand it's about what you're willing to do. Are you going to do what God wants you to do when it comes to world evangelism? Whatever it may be, whether it's go, whether it's give, whether it's pray. If we had more praying Christians, we would have more going Christians. I know I mentioned earlier, if we had more praying Christians, we would have more people praying for the lost. But I don't think you can honestly pray for the lost and not be willing to go also. I know we're good at saying, yes, yes, I get it. I'm going to pray for more laborers. The point is, we must do more than just pray. We must be willing to go ourselves. Here's verse number 5. We're going to try to tie this all together and finish up here. Look at the end of verse number 5. It says, and they had also John to their minister. Most of us know who John is. We know who John Mark is. It's interesting that this young man is going along with them. We would be foolish to say we're not concerned about the next generation. We would be foolish. If we turn around, we look at the next generation, and they definitely, my generation is different than many people's generation here. I have people here in our church that's 20 or 30 years older than me. They look at my generation, they think that we're lazy. I look at the generation that's in their early 20s, and I'm really concerned about them. But think about children and teenagers, things that they're learning and growing in right now. What is it that, are we not concerned about what's happening in this world? We consider all the debt that America's in. We see all the trends that are happening. There is a lot of problems. There are a lot of issues. But one of the things that's probably more concerning than anything else is the heart of many of our young people for the Lord. We have some good young people that are saved and interested in different things, but do they really have a passion for lost souls? How many times can we honestly say, hey, I know a young person that loves souls and wants to see them saved? How many people do you know like that? Well, then you say, well, how many older people do you know like that? Well, that's the connection. Because there hasn't been many that has that heart for lost souls in their life right now, and they've passed that down to that generation and to that next generation. So I have a love. What did you do last week for the furtherance of the gospel? What did you do in the last month to help further the gospel? And I say, well, I did this. Did you listen to God? Did you get alone with the Lord? Did you say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And then separate yourself and then do what he called you to do. Or did you do what was best in your own mind and do what was best in your own heart for the things that you've been taught and the things you've been said? But is that really developing a passion? I see this John Mark here, and I truly believe we need to enlist young people in the work for the Lord. I don't mean that every young person is going to be a pastor and every young person is going to go into some type of full-time work or be married to somebody. I'm not saying that. But are we really involving people into a, not a full-time vocation, but as a full-time loving for the Lord? I do believe we should show every young person that the greatest work we can do is the work of God. Amen. And I don't know if we're showing them that because of the way we live our lives. And you can blame it on my generation, blame the generation before me or the generation after me, but there is something that is lacking here. Are we really truly impressing our young people? There's nothing greater you can do with your life than live for God. If God called you to a ministry, boy, we should rejoice in that and should be excited about that. If God's calling you to do something else, serve him with all your heart, serve him with all your life. What is it that this generation is seeing? John Mark here, you see in this story here, he is a minister of Barnabas and Saul. This is not the first time we see him in scripture, and we don't have all the time to get there, but go back one page to chapter 12. Look what it says in verse number 12. You remember Peter's in jail. Peter's getting ready to be rescued out of jail. It says in John 12:12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So we first learn about John Mark here. Where's John Mark at? He's in a prayer meeting. I tell you, we need to get young people connected with people that pray. We do. They need to be around people that pray. John Mark sees Peter being delivered from this prayer. We need to get young people connected with people that pray. The only problem is, do we have people that pray? Do we have people that are seeking the Lord? Do we have somebody say, hey, that's somebody who hears from God. Let me spend some time with you. Let me spend some time with them. Where is it? He sees these people praying. Where's John Mark at? He's in his house. Does our children learn how to pray from us? This is something I would apologize to my boys, even though we did have devotion and different things like that. And even though we did pray together, we didn't put as much emphasis as we should have. And I'm thankful that they love the Lord. And I'm thankful that they want to pray. And they enjoy the men's prayer meeting. And they enjoy, but it's a scary thing when we don't put a priority on prayer. It's a scary thing when people aren't interested in prayer meetings. It's a scary thing when people can't pray together with their husband and wife and their children. We want to see this. We want the young people to reach out and use like John Mark was. But when do they see us pray? Not only do we see John Mark here, you go down in verse number 25, you see in verse chapter 12, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So another young guy, he takes him on the travels with them. You see him there around people that are connected to pray. Now we see he's interested in going somewhere with Barnabas and Saul, willing to leave his hometown to go see what's going on in the ministry here. Now we see in verse number 5, that it says that at the end of verse number 5, they had also John there as to their minister. It went from a spot where he was in a home that learned to pray to went going somewhere. Now he's going to a place to minister. Now, most of you know the story of John Mark. There was a failure. He went back home. We don't know all the details about it. We know Paul even gets discouraged by him. They have that spat between him and Barnabas, all these different things. At the end of his life, what do you see Paul doing? He's saying, hey, bring John Mark. He's a benefit to me. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? What are we teaching this next generation? What are we enlisting them to? What are we saying? This is how much you should love God by the way I live my life. I mean, we have certain expectations, certain things we want our young people. When we say, oh, I'm praying for more laborers, I'm praying for more young people. If God would get a hold of some of us older people's hearts to be able to show the young people, this is how you live for God. This is how you love the Lord. That they could learn to pray with somebody. I mean, our young people are not stupid. They see when you're not paying attention in church. They see when you don't want to be in the church service. They see when you make priorities and what you make priorities in your life. They see all those things. They see when you put an emphasis somewhere else. They see when you love the Lord. They see all these things. And we see John Mark, he learned from a praying family, and we see that he made a mistake. And we see that I want to encourage our young people. We need to have them come along, and we see the progression that's here. And we need to teach our young people, hey, look, this is what it looks like to love the Lord. This is what it looks like to serve the Lord. Yes, when they make mistakes, you give them a chance, and we all made mistakes. It drives me crazy when someone wants to sit there and take a mistake. A young person says, well, I don't think they can ever serve the Lord. When we all have made mistakes, and they want us to be patient with them, but they don't want to be patient with anyone else. And anything, they should be the example. They should be the leader. Look, this is how you love the Lord. Instead, it's more about, well, this is the problems that are at the church. We got to get to a spot. What can I do to be a world evangelist? What should I do for world evangelism? Listen for God's voice. What is he saying to you? What part can you have? Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about faith promise. You're going to hear about it on Wednesday night, about how we support the missionaries. You say, Pastor, you're interested in our money. I'm interested. God is interested in your heart. And that's what I'm interested in. And if there's something wrong in our hearts, we're showing that to the next generation. And we wonder why, well, they don't want to come to church. They don't want to pay attention. They don't want to show up for a work day. They don't want to go to visitation. Well, I'm not going to make them do something they don't want to do. Where do they see that from? And I'm not saying workday visitation equate godliness. There is a passion that comes from a heart that loves the Lord, and that is, it is contagious. They see that, and that you want to be around that. They want to become like that. And I wish that was shown more in my life. You know, Pastor, no, there's more I could do. And if I want to talk about giving more or going more, I think the first thing I need to look at and say, am I listening to what God's saying? Because it's going to be, make sure I'm right with God. Because when you're right with the Lord, you're going to separate from the right things. And when you're right with the Lord and you separate from the right things, you know what? You're going to be willing to be sent to do whatever God wants you to do. Whether it's Thailand and Cambodia, or if it's just across the street. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? There are people lost. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Jesus Christ loved us so much that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to give us hope for all of eternity. If not, people lost are dying and going to a horrible place called hell and will spend all of eternity there. But God provided a way. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So where does it all start? Ministering to God. Fasting, praying. Forget even the fasting right now. Pray. Seek God's face so we can show another generation. And I think it's great that there's some young people that want to serve the Lord. This upcoming week, you're going to meet the Barretts. You're going to meet the Max. Both their parents were missionaries, or at least their family members are missionaries, and they had a love for God. They saw that, and they want to go follow in their footsteps. That's awesome. But We should be sending people out also. Well, where do they see that? When they see it in us. When they look around, what are they learning from us? Do they learn how to give? Do they learn how to serve? Do they learn how to have the right attitude? Or they learn how to have a bad attitude? They learn how to gossip? Or they learn how to get by with as much as they can? Would God burden our hearts and souls to say, what can I do to help reach the lost? By saying, I want to hear from the Lord in this area. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to separate. And then I want to be sent. It doesn't mean I'm being sent across the world. It means I'm being sent to do the will of God, whatever that is. Because he said at the end of verse number 2, whereunto I have called them. God hasn't called all of us. We must learn to minister to him first before we're ever going to be able to minister to anyone else. Let's pray. Dear Lord, would you help us today? Lord, help us to desire to know the will of the Lord. Last week, we learned that verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understandings. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, help us to desire to hear your voice when it comes to world evangelism. Help us to learn to minister to you. Help us to show this to the next generation. That I love the Lord, and it's the best life that can be lived. Lord, help us to see that there's so much more caught than taught. Lord, help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.